close attention because I'm only going to say this once.
Jackie Reed, Inside Her Story.
From our New York studios up in Harlem, Jackie Reed, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Sybil. Good morning, Lavelle. Happy Friday the 13th, everybody. Mega producer Harvey Weinstein has gone from famous to infamous after four women claim he raped them and several more accuse him of sexual harassment. Many of the accusers are well-known Hollywood actresses, Tom, including Angelina Jolie, Gwyneth Paltrow, Ashley Judd, and Rose McGowan. Weinstein has been fired from the company he helped start. His wife left him, and now he could face time behind bars. I'm going inside her story with attorney and sexual harassment expert Natasha Bowman. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning, everyone.
So with these accusations of rape or other forms of sexual assault, police in London and L.A. are now considering criminal charges against Mr. Weinstein. But statute of limitations and where these alleged incidents happened could be the issue. What is the likelihood that he could face criminal charges?
I mean, it's a very low likelihood for the reasons that you just stated. In fact, there have been some other cities and municipalities that have said that they've either already investigated it or, again, the statute of limitations has already ran. So they're not looking to pursue criminal charges at all. So I think it, you know, the NYPD and London will have to conduct their own investigation and determine, according to their laws, according to the DA, if they want to pursue those actual criminal charges. But that doesn't mean, I think, that the organization has responded appropriately now. But what I'm concerned about and what I continue to be concerned about as we hear allegations like this come up, not just from Harvey Weinstein, but from other people that we've talked about over the past couple of years who've had similar accusations, I'm concerned that organizations have been put on notice about this conduct, and they have chosen to either do nothing or to provide hush money to the victims there. And to me, that's the real issue at hand. And I wish that there was some way that there could be charges pressed against the organization for allowing this conduct, this criminal conduct, to take place and to have knowledge that it took place and act appropriately.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because in hearing these stories from women who are coming forward, we're hearing now that there were staff members who left the room and left these women alone with Mr. Weinstein, that there were staff members who set up appointments in his hotel room, for example. I mean, if he faces charges, could they also face charges or face any kind of punishment as being involved with sexual assault?
Yes, if it is determined that actual sexual assault was involved, so that sexual assault goes beyond sexual harassment. So if we're looking at criminal behavior, and you had awareness that that behavior was taking place, or you are a conspirator, because essentially that's what you are doing when you're arranging for these appointments, knowing what his intent was, and you absolutely can be on the hook for criminal charges for this conduct. So we're looking at a bigger... go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, it just baffles my mind, you know, and you just said this, that sexual harassment is not a crime. And I wonder how you feel about this. I mean, there was one journalist who came forward and she said that Harvey Weinstein masturbated in front of her in a basement of a restaurant when she was, a young woman. So sexual harassment, though, is not a crime.
Sexual harassment is not a crime. And I'm baffled by that as well. You know, if you think about all the other crimes that can take place in the workplace, if I steal from my employer, right? If I fill out fraudulent documents, that can be criminal activity. But I can say these lewd comments, I can even probably touch you. Will it not, depending on where your jurisdiction is, it can't be assault. And that's where we need to stand up and criminalize this behavior in the workplace. And that's probably the only way that we're going to see this behavior stop. That and also stopping employers for giving out hush money for this. Because, again, that's what's troubling, is that these organizations are aware that this conduct is taking place. And instead of addressing the conduct, instead of marching these harassers out of the workplace, these perverts, if you will, they actually pay the victims to go away and make them sign a non-disclosure agreement that they can't share their story. You know, so a lot of the people that have come forward have said, I signed a non-disclosure agreement, but at this point, I am willing to breach that agreement. I'm willing to breach that contract so that I can share my story with others and so that others will have the courage to come forward as well. And that's what we're beginning to see.
And what happens
a lot of women who
Jackie,
like,
Sybil, Natasha, what's the difference in this case and Bill Cosby's case?
Drugs?
Well, Bill Cosby's case is a little different because he wasn't necessarily acting on behalf of his employer. He was acting on behalf of Bill Cosby. Harvey Weinstein, this is considered workplace sexual harassment because he was acting, on behalf of the Weinstein Studios. People were coming to him, wanting jobs or had been hired as an actress. And like we just talked about previously, his other employees, his peers, his colleagues, his subordinates were setting up these meetings on his behalf.
Right. In his initial statement, Natasha, he talked about, how he came up in the age of the 60s and 70s when the rules and behavior in workplaces were different. It's amazing to me as I work around men and work with men, how many of them are just oblivious to the fact that they are, engaged in sexual harassment in their day-to-day activity. What would you say to men and even women who accept this behavior as boys will be boys to help them get it in their minds that they're actually engaging in sexual harassment?
Yeah, so I would tell them, anything that's inappropriate, if you would not say it to your daughter, or if you are making comments that you wouldn't want somebody saying to your daughter in the workplace, you probably should not be saying it. You probably should not be doing it. And again, as I talked about the last time I was on the show, even if my comments and behavior are not directed towards you, but I am in earshot of those comments and conduct, then I can say I'm being sexually harassed. So my best advice is keep all inappropriate conduct, especially those in comments, especially those of the sexual nature, out of the workplace. That's the only way that you can keep yourself out of trouble. Locker room banter, all of these excuses, boys will be boys, they will say things, is absolutely unacceptable in the workplace.
And really, it comes down to his word against her word. What should a woman do immediately after experiencing a sexual harassment situation if she feels like she's sexually
harassed? They have to immediately report it to their employer. And the key here, the advice I want to give is if your employer does not respond, if they don't do an investigation, if they don't get back to you, go see an attorney. Go file a complaint with the State Department of Human Rights or the EEOC. But what I want to say is don't sign a non-disclosure agreement and take a settlement. The only way we can stop this is if we stop taking hush money and make our voices heard that this is unacceptable conduct and we're not having it.
All right, Natasha, thank you so much. Where can people find you? What's your website?
www.performance-renew.com. And you can buy my book on Amazon, You Can't Do That at Work.
Oh, boy.
All right, Natasha, thank you.